Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time for Bob Surratt's book club, Oprah, Eat Your Heart Out. I read a very interesting book over the weekend, written by Julie DeCaro, award-winning sports journalist, editor at Deadspin, a former attorney, and a familiar voice on Chicago sports talk radio. Good morning, Julie. Congratulations on the book.
Hey, Bob. Thanks so much.
The book is called Sidelined. It's a memoir and a look at the mistreatment of women in sports media from fans, coworkers, and athletes. And Julie, you, as you indicate in the book, you sort of grew up listening to WGN, didn't you?
That is absolutely right. I grew up listening to Bob Collins in the car with my dad when I was a kid, and I would catch Spike Odell on the way home from school. And, you know, WGN was the first place that I, sort of cut my teeth in sports talk radio. And you and your lovely wife were always very kind.
Well, yeah, it was fun getting to know you a little bit. And you're right that you went into radio feeling like the luckiest woman on the planet, and you left feeling disillusioned and sad. Why?
I think that sports talk radio in particular is just sort of a vestige of another time. And, you know, it's one of those industries where, you know, you can go to work and be the only woman you see all day, which certainly happened to me at the last station I was at. And it's just a place where things that don't necessarily happen in other industries happen and are just sort of taken for granted. And by that, I'm talking about, you know, things that are just inappropriate in the workplace. And it's also a place where women tend to bump up against a glass ceiling that, they seem to have broken through in other areas of media.
You're right that it's populated by some of the meanest and most miserable people, in parentheses, men, that you've ever met. And when I read that, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If you are around this game long enough, and I guess you could say this about a lot of professions, but TV, radio, you're going to run into some people who aren't the nicest folks around, but you kind of single out sports radio as being the worst of it. How come?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, one of the things, and this is true across media, is that, you know, everyone is sort of always looking over their shoulder for, who's coming up behind them, who's going to take their spot, who is, the next thing. And it's very, very competitive. And the thing that was so shocking to me, I guess, having grown up listening to sports talk radio, is people who sounded so great when I listened to them on the radio in real life were not that nice of people. And, you know, everyone in the industry sort of knows they're not really that nice of people. But you hear them on the radio and they sound like the best guys in the world.
Well, I mean, it is true that this is a business where a lot of people root for others to fail. I'll give you that. And I know you still love radio. You love sports broadcasting. And I think you'd still like to be a part of it. So did you worry that writing this book would be an obstacle to ever getting back into it?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of accepted that when I wrote this book that was sort of closing the door on that chapter of my life. I mean, I've got a podcast now, and it's not really the same as, you know, being on after a Bears game or a Cubs game and being able to share that with fans and have that conversation. And I do feel very, very lucky that I got to do that for a time. It's a very difficult industry to get into, and I'm grateful for the time I had and certainly for the audience that I had. It was a lot of fun most of the time. The highs are really high, but the lows are also pretty low. And, you know, I felt like I could write the book because I was sort of, I guess, burning that bridge. You know, and I know that we always talk about, you know, don't burn your bridges, don't do this. But I also think that not burning your bridges and telling people not to burn their bridges is a way to keep people from talking about the things that happened to them. And I know a lot of other women in the industry felt that way as well.
We're talking to Julie DeCaro about her book, Sidelined, about women in sports journalism. And you do point out in the book there have been some advances and things have changed. In fact, what was it, the 1975 NHL All-Star Game where everything really changed? Was that sort of a tipping point, Julie?
Yeah, I think it it was 75 in the All-Star game, when because there was really nobody in charge, because it was sort of a communal event, that women were able to sort of go in the locker room for the first time. And then, of course, Melissa Ludke's groundbreaking case against Bowie Kuhn, commissioner of MLB in 1976, is really what allowed women to go into locker rooms on a regular basis. And after that, I think everybody else saw the writing on the wall and knew that things were changing. But, you know, it's funny because that was, you know, over 40 years ago. And, you know, I think it was 2014, 2015, we had a woman barred from a locker room, a woman reporter in Indianapolis, because an usher didn't think that she looked like she should be there. And certainly you can still go into a locker room and be in a media scrum and not see any other women there. So, yeah, we've made progress, but not as much as we should have made in you know, 40 plus years.
Hey, Julie, I'm curious to get your thoughts. You know, you're on Twitter quite a bit, and it's almost become another medium besides sports talk radio. And I know you get some very questionable and some fairly mean tweets at you. I mean, how do you handle that?
I don't really have a choice. I mean, you know, as you correctly know, it is a whole other medium, and it's one that it's difficult to do your job without being a part of, right? So, you know, trades break, you know, player signings break, everything breaks on Twitter, news breaks there. You know, when you get a scoop, you go and you put it on Twitter first before you write up a story or do a report on it. So it's a place that it's difficult to live without. It's also a very toxic place. And, you know, I have good days and bad days. Some days it just sort of rolls off and you sort of laugh at the things people say to you. And other days, for whatever reason, you know, maybe you're just feeling especially sensitive that day or something, those remarks can be really cutting. And, you know, the book is not just about me. I talked to a lot of other women working in this industry and included their stories, because it is something that's happening sort of en masse to all of us, that we have to wade through 50 feet of garbage to be able to do our jobs every day. And it can be really difficult. And it's something I think that in the future, we're really going to have to rely on employers to try to mitigate that as much as possible, because right now it's sort of the Wild West, and we're sort of you know, out there on our own without really any help when you find yourself part of, you know, mass online harassment.
You say you were surprised by some of the reaction that you would get, especially when you would be talking about women's sports, but should you have really been surprised? I mean, what do you expect? You know what I mean, Julie?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely expected people, I guess an audience that listens, or a certain segment of the audience that listens to sports talk radio, to be a little bit more involved on that issue, especially when, you know, it would be things like we would just read off the score of a Sky game or the Chicago Red Stars game during my broadcast, and the text line would immediately light up with people screaming, "Who cares?" and "I don't want to hear about women's sports," and "Women's sports are boring, nobody cares." And I think anybody that watched this women's NCAA tournament, or watched the WNBA last summer, or watches the U.S. women's soccer team every time they play, or watches the Red Stars, knows that is definitely not true, and women's sports are not boring.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to ignore that. Haven't you considered that? Just don't look at the social media, for example?
Well, it's tough. I mean, yeah, and it's not just on social media, right? I mean, when you're in a studio, you have a text line in front of you, and that's where a lot of it would come in. And certainly when you're doing a show at 10 o'clock at night or on the weekend, you need listener engagement. So you're reading off and off that text line, and you're often reading, you know, taking phone calls and looking at what people say on Twitter. And that is sort of, you know, how you get through a show and engage with your listeners. And you're encouraged, you know, by your employers to read off Twitter and to read off the text line. So it's one of those things that I think you do as part of a good practice for sitting in the studio. And like I said, it's difficult to not be on Twitter. And I think, too, that, you know, I'm also a kind of person, and I know a lot of women said this to me, that, you know, you could have 100 people say you're great, I think you're terrific, but the one person who says something really cutting and mean to you, and that's sort of the comment that you internalize and take with you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, you get over that after a while, Julie. you do write about how the media, in your view, overlooks charges of violence against women leveled against sports stars like Kobe Bryant and Derrick Rose. And you're surprised by the number of women who support those athletes, too. Now, you've been very public about being a sexual assault survivor. How does that fact form your opinion on all of this?
Well, you know, I'm a sexual assault survivor, but, you know, after that, I also worked as a public defender, and I defended men who had been accused of sexual assault, and I've also, as an attorney, worked with victims and helped them get orders of protection. So I've seen all sides of this. You know, I think this is particular to what Felicia Somnus has just gone through at the Washington Post, where she was barred from covering stories on sexual assault because she's a sexual assault survivor. I think that, especially if you're familiar with the legal system, you have a much different view of how these things take place or at how these things play out. So, you know, someone who is not familiar might say, well, they never charged him. That means he's innocent. Or, you know, he was not in jail. So that means he's innocent. Where, you know, if you know anything about how the criminal justice system works, you know that very few cases of sexual assault ever get prosecuted, much less wind up with the rapist going to jail. So I just think it gave me, you know, a better perspective on, first of all, what it's like to be a victim and how difficult it is to come forward and report a case, even when it's not someone who's famous, much less someone who's famous and, you know, has a team behind them and an agent and a team of lawyers and the league and all the other players. So I think that it sort of broadened my perspective on that. And, you know, it also gave me a perspective in the legal system and what works for victims and what doesn't.
You know, you watch baseball games, hockey games, and there are definitely more women part of the broadcasts. And it seems like things have really changed. And then, of course, we had the story not too long ago about the NCAA and those unequal accommodations at the tournament. So how do you see the future here and where we are now? More women certainly in front office jobs as well. I know your take on it is women are sideline reporters, but they need to do more. They're starting to do more, though, correct?
Yeah, they are. But we're, you know, still largely limited to roles for most of us, right? I mean, of course, there's Kimming and of course, there's Doris Burke, but those women are really the outliers. You know, being a sideline reporter is a very difficult job and one that it's really hard to do well. And it's a great job for somebody. It just shouldn't be the only job. And, you know, as I said before, more than 40 years down the road, it seems like we should be a lot further along than we are. And certainly the NCAA Women's Tournament and the not just the accommodations, but the COVID tests they were receiving, the food. We saw the WNBA bubble and how they were in rooms that had bed bug traps under their beds. I mean, across the board, there is sort of a marginalization of women in the sports space. And I think that, you know, the more women that we get in front of people, the more women who are in front-facing front office jobs, the more women who are in the broadcast booth, not just on the sidelines, the more women sports that are on mainstream TV channels that everybody can watch, the more that normalizes women being involved in sports. And I think that's when we'll start to see real change.
Well, it's definitely a topic for our time. And the book is Sideline, Sports, Culture, and Being a Woman in America, Julie DeCaro. Good catching up with you, Julie. Congratulations on the book.
You too. Thanks so much, Bob.